Well, good evening. It's good to see you. If you're wondering, if you're online and you're looking and you're wondering why you don't see Pastor Dan here, and there is this awesomely handsome-looking guy up there. That's Dan had asked me to fill in for him tonight. I'm also told that the only person you'll see is me, so you people are out there watching online. There are at least 200 people sitting here tonight. Now, you laugh because there's only about three or four of us here, but we're good. We'll welcome you here tonight. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 14, if you want to look ahead. Joshua chapter 14, looking at verses 6 through, actually, I think through verse 14. Caleb, he succeeded where everyone else failed. I want to thank Crystal and them for getting the outline on the back of the bulletin. But again, for you, those of you who are watching online, if you will send in $20 to the church in care of Al Morgan, I'll be sure and get you a bulletin with the outline on the back. But we're here to examine tonight why Caleb was able to finish his life's work with strength and victory, and also how you can actually do the same thing. It seems that we only tend to celebrate those who succeed early in life, like child prodigies or young millionaire entrepreneurs. If you look back in the last Olympics that we had, that we just finished, 13-year-old student in the skateboarding competition won the gold medal. And it's amazing at that young age of what could happen. But Caleb is a man worthy of celebration who not only finished strong. Now, in the 1988 World Veteran Games, there was a 77-year-old grandmother whose name was Ivy Granstrom. Ivy signed up to run in a race. Well, this is the events that she signed up to run in. She signed up to run the 10K, which is 6.2 miles. She also signed up to run the 800 meter, which is two laps around the track, which is a half a mile. She signed up for the 400 meter race, which is one lap around the track, which is actually a sprint. And then she signed up also for the 1500 meter race, which is 1 mile, which is four laps around the track. The thing that's so special about that is that Ivy Granstrom was blind. And she ran competitively, not only in handicap races, but she competed against those who were not visually handicapped. Now, when she did run, she ran tethered to somebody else. Now, the rules state that the person who is tethered to cannot be the lead person. So Ivy has to be the lead runner of the two. She, in essence, is pulling along the person that's tethered to her. She had started to lose her sight when she was young, and she was competitive. But when she became at the age of 68, she started to really compete in the Masters competitions and races. She actually holds the world record for the two miles and also for the 10K races, which is 6.2 miles. She has been inducted into the Canadian Athletic Hall of Fame, plus numerous other accolades of what she has done. Ivy's story is a great reminder that the only thing that keeps us from accomplishing what we set out to do are the restraints that we actually put upon ourselves. And it's that way in the spiritual realm also. We often underachieve what we set out to do just because we limit what God has for us to do and we limit His power in us. So what often happens as we go through life is that we begin to see a mental picture of how we think things should end, how we should finish up in life. And our culture has also set the scenario that at a certain age in life, we are to stop all we're doing. We're to set back now, let all the young people take over. And that especially is true in the realm of the spiritual. We are to just sort of slow down. All right? To slow down and vegetate until death finally comes. However, if you look in the Scripture, you're going to find there's not any support for that process. Now, the age of our group here tonight is, how do you say this nicely, okay? I don't say old. We're mature. We're mature, okay? But Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 tells us that Joshua was, and this is a phrase I want you to understand, old, advanced in years. Joshua was old and advanced in years. Now, that phrase occurs in the Bible 6 times. It's interesting to think about, though, that 5 of those 6 times, that phrase describes someone who is just about ready to experience the greatest event in their life. And it's a misleading falshood, well, actually you could say it's a lie, that an older person can no longer be productive or do anything meaningful for the Lord. That's why we are thankful for the illustration that we're given about Caleb, and whom Scripture tells us that Caleb was 85 years of age when he accomplished the greatest thing he ever did in his life. He stood out among all the others because he had a great vision and he had great faith in God Almighty. Now, to understand how Caleb fits into this whole flow of the book of Joshua, we got to remember, got to go back, remember that Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the land of Canaan. This was 45 years later, earlier, okay, sent those 12 spies into the land of Canaan to see the promised land, to see what it was like, and which was the God had promised them this land, and to see what was happening. Well, if you follow the story, as they came back, the 12 spies, 10 of those spies said, hey, it's impossible. We cannot go in and conquer this land. There are giants in there. There are walled and fortified cities, and we just can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb were the two spies who stood up and they said, no, now wait a minute. It's exactly like the Lord said. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. There are giants. There are also walled cities and fortified cities that are there. But that's nothing in comparison to what our God can do. And let's go do it. We can conquer this land. Well, the people refused to believe what Joshua and Caleb said, and they believed the 10 spies. And so they didn't go in. So God punished the nation of Israel. And he sentenced that entire generation to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they died off. And the only two of that generation that was going to get to go into the promised land were the two that believed what God said, and they took God at his word, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Now, if you fast forward the story now, some 45 years later, God's people are in the promised land. They've crossed over the River Jordan. Joshua is very old. Moses has died. Joshua has succeeded him. Now, Joshua is very old. He's finished up the whole process. What he's doing now is dividing the land, the promised land, among the tribes. And Caleb, who belonged to the tribe of Judah, was their spokesman. So when it was time for Caleb to stand before Joshua and to request what portion of the promised land that the tribe of Judah was going to take, we're going to find that Caleb makes a very special request that sets him apart from all of his contemporaries. And so let's look in Joshua chapter 14. and starting in verse 6. Now, the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Now, there's no doubt that there was something special about Caleb's life that made it possible for him to achieve what no one else in his whole generation was able to achieve. In fact, there are three characteristics that define Caleb and ensured his success. And these are three characteristics for us also that can define our lives and help us to be successful. First, Caleb succeeded where others failed because he had a vigorous spirit. Vigorous spirit. Now, Caleb was a strong man. In fact, in Joshua chapter 14, verse 11, this is what he says. "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." You know, that's astounding. Caleb says he's just as vigorous and just as strong at the age of 85 as he was when he was 40 years of age. Now, if you look at the scripture, you don't see Joshua or anybody else saying to Caleb, "Hey, now, wait a minute, Caleb, you're 85 years of age. You're not as strong as you used to be." They didn't contradict what Caleb said, because it was true. Caleb was as vigorous and as strong at 85 as he was at the age of 40. Somehow, Caleb had maintained a vigorous spirit right up until the very end. He possessed a great vigor and strength. You know, most of the time when we study the Word of God and we encounter a truth that relates to something physical in nature, sometimes we have a tendency to downplay that. But consider this. The only ministry that you're going to have in the world today is going to happen in the body you have right now. Okay? You can't preach without your body. All right? You can't teach or do any ministry without a body. So the only ministry that you will ever have on this earth is going to be done through your body. Now, it's true that the body is not as important as the spirit and soul. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 tells us this, "And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is true, but we got to remember, if we're going to serve God and live out our lives effectively for Him, we have to have a vigorous body in order to do that, because ministry is confined to the body that we have. And simply put, we minister through the body that God gives us. All right? Now, the sad thing is, sometimes we abuse that body. And we abuse it through drugs, through not eating correctly, not exercising. I abuse my body through playing sports. I used to coach Daryl, and I know how Daryl used to abuse his body when he was playing sports by diving on the floor after a loose ball or anything. But sometimes physically we abuse our bodies. But somehow, Caleb maintained a vigorous or physical situation in his life during their long journey in the wilderness. Now, that's intriguing to me. Everything about Caleb's life when the nation of Israel was going wandering around in the wilderness, the circumstances could have dictated that Caleb could have just said, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to give up. I'm physically wore out. And my generation is dying off. But we'll find that's not what Caleb said. And I want to give you the reason why he said that. And the second thing, Caleb succeeded where others failed because he had a visionary spirit. A visionary spirit. If you look at Caleb's life, you have to realize that his experience during the 40 years in the wilderness was made up of three things. This is what Caleb saw in the wilderness. He saw the desert, he saw death, and he saw discouragement. He didn't have it easy. He had to watch all of his contemporaries in the wilderness die off. The entire generation had to perish before God would allow them to cross the Jordan River and enter the land of Canaan. What a way to spend the best years of your life. In the desert, watching people die and watching people succumb to great discouragement. But Caleb, he was able to stay so vigorous and so strong in the circumstances of there. And here's the answer why he was able to do that. Because Caleb was a visionary. He had a vision. He knew what he wanted. He knew what God had promised him. If you remember, going back to when Moses sent him into the land of Canaan as a spy, Caleb had the opportunity, along with Joshua, to go into the land of Canaan some 40 years earlier. God's people had heard that this was a land flowing with milk and honey. They had all known the promises that God had given them concerning a special place that God had prepared for them. But Caleb got to see it. He was an eyewitness to see what the land was like. He saw the land with his own eyes, and he knew with all his being that God had not lied to him or to the nation of Israel. The promised land was a marvelous place. In fact, it superseded anything that he had ever seen before. So while he was marching up and down in the wilderness, and the people were dying off left and right, all he could think to himself was this: one of these days, one of these days, I'm going to cross over the River Jordan, and I'm going to go into the Promised Land, and that's going to be my home. And he had that vision in his life. He knew that God had promised him, Moses had promised him, that one day he was going to get to go into the Promised Land. So when it came time for Caleb, speaking for the nation of Judah, for the tribe of Judah, rather, to request their portion of the land of Canaan, in verse 12, this is, you know, basically what he said. You know, he said, okay, here's the land. There is a hill country. And there are giants there. There are walled, fortified cities. The Anakim are there. But the Lord God has told me that we can take that. So I want that land. At 85 years of age, I'm going to go take that hill country. Now, it's interesting to know that other people didn't ask for that land. Other tribes didn't ask for that land, but Caleb did. So when Caleb came before Joshua to request his portion of the land, he asked for a specific area known as Hebron. Now, this was a very special and sacred place in Canaan because that's where Abraham and Sarah were buried. And it was really the only sacred burial place in the land of Canaan up to that point. So what makes this even more interesting is the fact that Caleb was not even a full-fledged Jew. If you read the record carefully, you'll discover that his father was a man of the name of Jephunneh, who was a Canaanite. And the tribes that God had told the nation of Israel to drive out of the land of Canaan were the Hivites, the Jebusites, or Girgashites, and the Kenizzites. So Caleb, when he was going to go in and take that hill country, that's where his roots of the people were actually were. So he's going to be driving out some of the people that he had roots with in that land. So somehow Caleb and his father, Jephunneh, became a part of the Israelite. And as Caleb came to understand the history of God's people, he literally fell in love with the glorious history that God had provided for his chosen nation. And thus, when he had a chance to choose his place in the land of Canaan, he told Joshua, "I want Hebron. All right, that's a very special and sacred place for me. And it has a meaningful history of the Jewish people. Let me take Hebron." Now, Hebron, as I said, was the burial site of Abraham and Sarah, but it was also the burial site of Isaac and Joseph and Rebekah. But the Bible also tells us that in Hebron, there were many who were the Anakim. Do you know who the Anakim were? Well, the Anakim were the same as the Nephilim. Does that help you? I don't think so. Didn't help me until I looked at it. But both of these names are references to giants, to the sons of Anak. It's from this vicinity that Goliath came from, and later on to plague the Israelites as a Philistine. So isn't it interesting that nobody, as I said earlier, had volunteered yet to go up to Hebron and subdue the giants? But Caleb, at the age of 85, asked for the hardest assignment that was available, and he did it because he was a visionary. He knew what God had planned. He was willing to go. Well, thirdly, Caleb succeeded where others failed because he had a victorious spirit. So not only did he have a vigorous spirit and a visionary spirit, but he also had a victorious spirit. Not only did Caleb take the hardest assignment, but he also was the only one, I guess we could say, that actually accomplished his assignment. Over and over again, the testimony is exactly the same. All the people who were said to go in to possess the land that God told them to, and to drive out the inhabitants, God told them that, you've got to drive out these people that are in there. They did so only partially. They never fully completed their task. But the 13th chapter of Joshua is very clear. That's what it said. God told them to take all of the land and to drive out all of the inhabitants. The emphasis there is on the word all. But the Israelites failed to obey God. They didn't drive out all the Geshurites, the Jebusites, nor the Canaanites. God gave them an assignment, and they only did it halfway, and they were plagued with that for the rest of their lives by those people. However, in Joshua 15:14, we're told that Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, from there, there was Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmaiah. They were the children of Anak. Caleb did what all the rest of them didn't do. God gave him an assignment. He did it. He even took the toughest assignment and he completed it, where his contemporaries took lesser assignments and didn't finish their work. We clearly know now that Caleb, as I said, he had a vigorous spirit, he had a visionary spirit, and a victorious spirit. But those three things reveal to us a fundamental truth about Caleb. Six times in the reference to Caleb that we find in the Old Testament, we are told this thing about him. It says he wholly followed the Lord. Or if we would turn it around and say, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. With all of his being, he followed the Lord. Now, when you follow the Lord wholeheartedly, God's going to bless you. And it won't make any difference what your age is. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly when he went into the Kadesh Barnea as a spy and to search out the land. He followed God wholeheartedly when he came back and he, along with Joshua, said, we can take this land. Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord when he spent all those days walking around in the desert, watching all his friends die and seeing all the discouragement, but he kept his eyes fully on the promise and he trusted the Lord. Caleb also wholly followed the Lord when he crossed over the Jordan River, and when he came time for him to select his portion or Judah's portion of the land, Caleb said in his heart, God, I can take it. Give me that mountain and I'll be your champion. And he said, he knew, God, you are on my side. And what a thrill it is to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, we need to be just like Caleb. We need to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. How many days of our lives should we do that? Okay, all the days of our lives. We never have the right to quit serving God. That is a common, misconception I have seen over the years of older people in churches say, I have done my part. Now it is time for the young people to do theirs. And I'm going to sit back. I'm going to watch them. That's not biblical. All right? Truly, we need to let the younger generation and take, leadership and go in. But we have to be also to serve. Daryl and in his prayer mentioned about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we are putting on a golf tournament this weekend. And we were meeting with Brian. My mind just went blank, Daryl. Brian Young. Yeah, the regional director for FCA in our area. And we were working on all of the plans of the golf tournament and then talking about how FCA were going into the schools and speaking and so forth. There was an older couple that came in and they sat in a booth right behind us. And I didn't really pay that much attention to them, but we were talking and discussing and all that. And the man just turned around and he said, can I interrupt you guys a minute? He said, I hear you guys talking about FCA and talking about going into the schools and, getting the word into the athletes and so forth. He said, I just think that's so great. He said, I'm a pastor from Fayetteville, North Carolina. But he said, I'm retired, but I flunked retirement. He said, I have to go back in to ministry. And so it was a blessing. And then when he left, he walked over our table and gave Brian $40 and said, put this on reaching the students for the Lord. So I just thought that was so wonderful that he did that. But we need to be like Caleb, and we need to serve the Lord wholeheartedly as long as we can, as long as we're physically able. We are to let God use us, as I said, right up to the very end of our lives. Then and only then will we take the transition over the Jordan into the Promised Land. that He's prepared for us. There is no retirement from serving the Lord. Yes, we may, like Pastor John, retired from this church, but he didn't quit serving the Lord. And it's the way everything else that we look at. There is no retirement from serving the Lord. We are to serve the Lord all the days of our lives right up until the very end. And that's what Caleb was doing. Now, look at the last point on the outline. And I put, this is a life lesson. This is a life lesson from Caleb, a man who was loyal to God. What do we learn from this? What practical thing can we find out and use for our lives? We have to go over to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Numbers 14 and verse 24 says this, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit in him and has followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." You know what's been called man's best friend? His dog. His dog we usually call as man's best friend. For the reason, because a dog is so loyal to his master. Well, Caleb manifested the same character trait. I guess, could you say this? As a dog? As a loyal dog? And Caleb, whose name in Hebrew means faithful, was a man who was loyal to God. And in return for his loyalty to God, God was loyal to him. At Kadesh, when Moses wanted to send a group of the 12 spies into Canaan to do the reconnaissance in the land, he asked each tribe, "Select one of your leaders, and I'm going to send them in as spies." Well, who did the tribe of Judah choose? They chose Caleb. That shows you how well they respected Caleb and how well Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. But it was when the 12 spies returned that Caleb stood true to his name, and he remained loyal to his master, and only Caleb and Joshua brought back positive reports. And of the two, it was Caleb who was the most vocal between he and Joshua when Caleb again said, "Hey, let's go. That land is ours. God has given it to us. Let's go take it, and we can possess it. Because God says we can do it, He's going to be on our side, so certainly we can go and go." So God saw that Caleb did have a different spirit in him. He had a spirit of loyalty and faithfulness compared to the fear and self-protection of the 10 other spies. So God made Caleb a promise. He said, "I'm going to bring you back into the very land that you spied upon and give it as part of the land that your descendants could inherit for the rest of their lives." So Caleb was age 40, as I said. At 45 years later, at the age of 85, God promised was fulfilled. You know, I thought about that too when I read that. That took 45 years for God's promise to be accomplished. You know, we might say, "Hey, 45 years, that's long, I'll give up. God's not going to answer." We don't work on God's timing. I mean, we don't work on our timing. We got to work on God's timing. God's never late. He's always on time. So even though it took 45 years to accomplish what God had promised, Caleb was faithful and patient to wait. So Joshua awarded Caleb the town of Hebron because, verse 14 tells us, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So when Joshua marshaled and gathered all his troops together, the Israelite armies, to go into Canaan, he had by his side what every general would dream of having. And that is the most loyal officer, or we could say a lieutenant or a captain or a company commander in the nation was right by his side. Caleb proved his loyalty to God by being loyal to Joshua, for which his descendants would be rewarded forever. So here's a life lesson on your outline. With God, loyalty given is loyalty received. With God, loyalty given is loyalty received. So I'm going to ask you tonight as we close up, what's your Hebron? What is your mountain out there that God wants you to take? What is that ministry? And you're saying, well, I'm too old to do that, you know. That's not the factor. The factor is God says, I want you to do this. I will be with you. I will give you everything you need to accomplish this, even though you may be up in years, but I'm going to be with you. And so I'm asking you tonight, what is your Hebron? What is it that's keeping you from following the Lord wholeheartedly? And I want to close with saying, don't let your age be an excuse. God wants you to do something. Follow Him wholeheartedly. Be loyal to Him. He will be loyal to you. So we have to have, like Caleb, a vigorous spirit. We have to be a visionary, and we also have to have a victorious spirit in our lives. So let's go out there this week as we go, and maybe God's got something planned. Speak into your heart you're not sure about. Just remember, be loyal to God. He's going to be loyal to you, and He's going to supply you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the example that You've given us of Caleb in the Bible and the Scripture. We're thankful, Lord, that You stood with him, that Caleb wholeheartedly serves You, just as You ask us to wholeheartedly serve You today. Lord, in our lives, You may be asking us to do things, and we're not sure which way to go and if we should do that. And hopefully we don't say, Lord, you know, I'm just too old. I can't do that. But You've given us the example of Caleb, that age doesn't make a difference with You. So if someone is struggling with that tonight, I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to their heart. Holy Spirit, I'd ask that You'd give them strength to just give in to You. Lord, I pray that You would be with those in our church or fighting this COVID-ness, and I just pray that You'd be with them and that You would heal their bodies and that would bring us back together again. Thank You for the time to look into Your Scripture tonight. Bless us as we go. Help us to be the servants You'd want us to be. I ask this in Your Son's name. Amen. All right, so let's go out there this week and let's just turn the world down for Christ. Remember Klugiks. Remember Klugiks. You know what Klugiks is? Keep looking up. God's coming soon. All right.